their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
This is the Image Doctors Talk Radio Podcast. Photography Talk Radio Podcast, right?
We talk
about photography, don't we?
Or is it guitars? I can't remember. One of the two.
One of the two.
We could do guitars today.
Okay,
well, but we won't.
Oh darn.
Yeah. Well,
turn your amp up to 11 and sit back and listen to our show for today. Because today what we want to talk about, we're getting into that holiday time. There's a lot of good deals out there on cameras. So we thought we'd talk about...
Things that you could spend your money on.
Yeah, but in a we kind of have a narrow context for this. We want to talk about, in the past we've done stocking stuffers, and we're going to do that probably in our next episode, right? Mm-hmm. Where we'll talk about a lot of little accessories and things, you know, for the photographer in your family. But today we want to focus on... cameras and, you know, camera systems that won't destroy your budget. So whether, you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably an enthusiast, you know what kind of cameras you want, but you might have friends ask you, what's a good camera for my teenage person, mm-hmm. you know, my teenager who wants to get into photography, or, you know, you want something for maybe a spouse to go on a trip, or maybe you're just looking for a budget camera to have as a second system or a backup, you know.
All good reasons.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about some of those things. We'll talk about cameras, we'll talk about tripods and a few little lens ideas, but this is sort of a generalized discussion of
more affordable.
Exactly where I was.
Did I say that correctly?
You nailed
yeah,
it, Rick.
Okay.
More affordable gear. So
this is our penance for recommending things that are expensive most of the time.
And we'll still recommend things that are expensive most
of the time.
But, yeah. What we tried to do with our camera systems were look for kits that are currently discounted in some respect. And we just looked at B&H, but you can find these probably anywhere. And we'll post links to these on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I'll have a link to where you can find these deals. But we tried to keep them, you know, in the sub-$1,000 range for a camera and lens, or in some cases, two lenses. Just depends on the deal. And there's actually some really...
There are stunning deals.
There's
oh
some
my
really
God.
Good deals right now.
Oh
I don't know.
God.
I don't know how long these will last. You must act now.
you know? Hopefully it isn't after the podcast goes out.
But there's some really good holiday specials. And most of these are manufacturer specials. So it's not usually through a retailer. The retailers tend to have similar deals across the, you know, no matter where you shop. So mm-hmm. you could be... You know, I shop a lot of times at B&H, but we've both shopped at other places like Adorama or even Amazon or mm-hmm. Lots of different shops out there. So, you know, you find the one that has it in stock and chances are you'll be able to find these specials.
Yeah.
We
and
like
if
lots of shops, actually.
You're one of our listeners from other parts of the world other than the U.S. and we're fortunate to have a good number. We're sorry the prices are higher.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with some kits that are awfully affordable, and the first one is a Nikon kit because
mm-hmm.
we're Nikon shooters. But an introductory Nikon kit. Now, Nikon's introductory camera is the 3000 line, but we don't recommend that one normally. We actually recommend the 5000 series. They're a little bit better in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
And the current 5000 series is a D5600. That is a DX camera, so APS-C format. Was it 24 megapixels? Good
very
ISO.
Good sensor. Yeah.
Yeah, great sensor, very clean images, good ISO range, up to like 50,000 or something like that.
That should be enough.
More than enough. And what?
And Jason, yeah. What's that going for? What does it come with?
Well, you know, it's crazy. Well, I was just talking about the camera. I mean, one of the reasons we like this camera
mm-hmm.
is because unlike the very lowest end, this camera has more room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
It has the articulating touch LCD and a lot of good features. So, yeah, it comes with two lenses. I think it's like a 18 to 55 and a 70 to 300 DX lens. And it is on sale right now, at least when I looked at B&H, $596.
That's insane.
For the whole thing.
Yeah.
So a camera and two lenses. That's really difficult to beat.
That is so much photographic capability. It's stunning.
I mean,
it really is.
If you have a high schooler or junior high schooler, or even a middle schooler who's getting into photography or maybe wants to shoot for the school newspaper or the yearbook, I mean, I would jump on something like that.
Yeah.
Just because you're not going to get most of these in the past, find a camera was $400, $500.
You were lucky.
Right. So this is just an outrageously good deal. I think it's like something like $500 discounted right now. But it's worth it for the two lenses.
So hopefully this price will still be good when this podcast comes out.
We hope so. Yeah, absolutely. I think it will be because we're not quite up to Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah. All right. And so, then...
So yeah, that's a good one. And if you're looking for a Canon...
Because we're trying to be inclusive.
Absolutely. Maybe you shoot Canon and you want to share lenses with your... But... what do we got from Canon, Rick? What is we wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah, we had to because it's confusing in a hurry. It is in the US it's the Canon Rebel T7i. And you can get that in a kit also with similar lenses to what we were just talking about.
Two lens kit, right?
Mm-hmm, lens kit. That one is going for $799 right now.
Okay.
And, you know, we were doing a little bit of research just to figure out how it compared with the 5600 that we just talked about versus the 7500, which is a step up in the Nikon range and more expensive. And it seems in some ways to be kind of in between.
Yeah. It looks like it has a little bit better in terms of autofocus points.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is very comparable.
24
megapixels. It uses the latest, what is it? Canon calls it the Digic 7. Mm-hmm. You know, it's with their latest image processing chip and similar ISO range. I think it goes up to 25,000 or something spec. So very comparable.
Yeah, and Canon makes nice cameras.
Oh, absolutely. And two lenses. So that was $799.
Mm-hmm.
You said, okay, that's a good deal too.
Yeah. And just to help with naming conventions elsewhere in Europe, it's not the T7i, it's the 800D.
Okay.
And then in Japan, it's the KISS X9i.
Right.
What you said. It's a 7i in the US, an 800D in Europe, and an X9i in Japan. Don't ask us to explain that.
No, it doesn't go to 11.
At least that's what we think they are elsewhere.
Yeah, and one thing of, there are, you know, earlier models, there's a 6 TI, but I think we were talking that it's in the US, it's the I designation that you want. It's Maybe. The slightly better camera, we hope. It's the slightly better performing model, because there's like a T7 as well.
Yeah, at the very least, going by the specs and everything and having handled a few of them in the past, that's a nice camera.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have anything that isn't... So let's change. Do we have any mirrorless cameras on our list?
We do. And one of them is the Olympus OM-10 Mark III, which you can get as a very least a single lens kit. It has a 14-42, which is like a 28-85 millimeter lens. And that is $599. And although we didn't see one as a kit, you know that Olympus has I think it's a 40-150 zoom, so it's like an 80-300. And sometimes that sells for just under $100.
Wow.
US, which is
so this is a micro four thirds
mirrorless.
And the advantage of the Olympus, I mean, Olympus makes some really great cameras, and these are nice because they're extremely compact for traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just really small kit that you can have. And the the micro four thirds, that is effectively a 2x crop factor from 35 millimeter. Am I correct? Yes. Okay. So the 14 to, as you said, it's a 28.
You just double it.
Yeah, you double it. Okay. That's easier than multiplying by 1.5. So that's another good kit.
Biology majors find that challenge.
Yeah, we do. That's okay. I just want to remind everyone, as long as we're on this.
Go for it.
The mitochondrion is the powerhouse of the cell.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. Have no idea what that really is, but sounds like a Star Wars thing to me.
No, that's a midichlorian. Oh, okay. Not to be confused with The Mandalorian, which I heard is pretty cool, too.
Okay.
So if my sister's listening to this, I'll trust her on that. Anyway, all right. The last camera that we're going to talk about, we're going to spend a little more time on because you actually purchased it.
Yeah.
And this is a very new release. We teased about it. I think we mentioned it a couple of shows ago. And this is the new DX or APS-C format Nikon mirrorless Z50 camera. And the Z50, when it was released, you know, I kind of looked at it, I looked at the specs and thought, okay, I mean, it uses the same Z mount as the big brothers, the full frame ones. But it was really designed to be a small camera, wasn't it?
And it is.
Yeah, it's a very small. It uses SD cards, correct?
Mm-hmm. Just a single SD card.
A single SD card, so a little smaller there. And they, instead of the dial on the top of the camera being on the left side, it's moved over to the right side.
Yeah.
But, so a little bit different ergonomically.
Yeah. Yeah. But otherwise, it's remarkably similar to the bigger Z6 and Z7, which aren't big cameras, but they seem big, you know, when you handle the Z50.
Well, and so why a Z50? Because DX means smaller lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about in our previous episode about, you know, how camera bodies are getting smaller, but the lenses keep getting bigger.
Yeah.
In this case, it's quite the opposite, right?
Yeah. And it's very nice. It's, you know, you can get it in a two lens kit, but I did.
Okay.
And it comes with a 16-50. So think 24-75 ish.
Okay.
Which is a nice general purpose
lens.
That's
a teeny lens.
It's very teeny. It collapses and it turns into what's pretty much a pancake style lens.
Yeah, I saw that. I was shocked how small that was.
And fortunately, it's not a power zoom lens. I find those a little bit irritating. It's just good old manual, which is easier to control. And then it also comes with a 50-250. So think 75 to like 370. And that's a really nice range.
And these lenses are small enough that you could pack this and even a flash with the two in a tiny little shoulder bag.
Yeah.
You know, or even a belt pack bag. I mean, just very small. I was astonished how much you could fit in there.
The combination of the body and the two lenses weighs about 1 kilogram. So just over 2 pounds.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And you know, it's got a 20-megapixel sensor in there that does nicely at higher ISOs.
Mm-hmm. So kind of the same sensor as the D500 series.
I'm sure it's similar.
Yeah, the 20.9-megapixel.
Yeah, I'm sure it's similar.
Cool.
The viewfinder's nice. You know, it's one of the advantages of a mirrorless. It's a bigger viewfinder than what you will see through a DSLR DX body. And the controls in general are very similar to the Z6 and Z7, all the options. The thing that it's missing, two things that
there's always something,
slightly,
right?
But they're not huge. One, it doesn't have an in-body image stabilization system, or IBIS. You have to rely on the lens.
Yeah. But those two lenses now, they are VR vibrate. Yeah. Okay, so they're stabilized lenses.
Yeah, and they work, and the stabilization works well. And the other thing is it doesn't have an automatic sensor cleaning system.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit of a bummer.
So they've eliminated those probably in the interest of, I don't know if it's size, but certainly cost.
Yeah.
Because the body only, I think, lists for about $850.
Yeah. And the kit that we were just talking about is like $1,149.
Okay.
Right now.
So here's a kit. Why is this in our bargains? Well, this is sort of the top end of our price range, but we're including it because for $1,149, which is the current discounted price, I don't see why that's going to change much. That's a hell of a kit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete travel kit.
Exactly.
For a
Bingo.
Lot of people.
Bingo.
So if you're looking for that small, I want to travel with, and I want to stay in the Nikon system, you know, a few months ago, we talked about travel photography, and we were recommending things like Olympus,
which we
still do.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, my parents each picked one of those up for a trip to Europe that they took for their anniversary this past summer. Solid cameras. But if you're used to Nikon ergonomics and Nikon menus, it's another camera to learn.
Especially if you own a Z camera, you know, one of the sixes or sevens, or are contemplating getting one, because you can have some future compatibility and also just familiarity with the menus, the controls, everything.
Right now, you can use the FTZ adapter to use your Nikon lenses. And so there, the advantage would be if you already have some VR F-mount lenses, for example.
Especially DX ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those can be had for pretty to nothing. Although that zoom range you're talking about covers damn near everything.
It covers a lot, but you know, potentially you might want something like a 10 to 24 wide angle zoom at some point. And at least right now, the way that you could get that is by, you know, potentially reusing one that you have already for an F-mount camera, or, you know, pick up a used one inexpensively. There are other things like a 35-1/8 DX lens, which you could put on that same FTZ adapter.
Now, if you use you could use the Z lenses for the full frame, of course.
Sure. But they're bigger.
They're much bigger, and they won't be image stabilized.
No.
So that you're giving that up.
Right.
But optically, they're outstanding. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's cool because, you know, at that price, yes, it's at the high end of what we sort of said for our budget. But if you're looking for a travel Nikon, it's a very good deal to get those with the two lenses at that price.
Yeah, and I will just say that it's delightful to shoot with. It really is. There are some cameras you use that, you know, are good in terms of specs, but when you handle them, they're just awkward. The controls aren't quite right. They don't feel good. This thing feels good. The controls are great. You know, you have separate dials for aperture and shutter speed or whatever the heck you want to set them to. You're not stuck with one dial and then press a button. Mm-hmm. And the image quality is really nice. You know, one thing that people will notice is the lenses aren't super fast. So like that 16 to 50 goes from 3.5 to 6.3.
Okay, So, pretty variable aperture.
Yeah, but what I will say is 6.3 is only a third of a stop slower than 5.6, which is kind of the standard for kit lens. And it's sharp, wide open. Both of those lenses are sharp, wide open.
And that's good.
Yeah, you can actually use them as opposed to a lot of older lenses where you had to stop them down.
And one other thing I should say is, at least from my experience, is that with the mirrorless cameras, the autofocus system, you don't pay that penalty with slower lenses as much as you did with traditional DSLRs. The autofocusing tends to be more accurate. So that third of a stop, which would sometimes slow down or lead to less accurate focus with DSLRs, you don't need to worry about focus fine tuning or anything like that with these cameras. So
yeah,
it's not as big of a deal as it used to be from a focus performance standpoint.
No.
I mean, there's still the depth of field
thing. And the focusing system in it is essentially what you find in the Z6 and 7. You know, between the three bodies, and the number of points varies, but it's a lot.
And doesn't it shoot like 11 frames a second
or
something? So it does go to 11.
It does go to 11. I'm sure that was thought out.
Absolutely.
10 would just be the wrong
number. So that's interesting. We'll have to play more with that one because I know that there's a lot of Nikon photographers in general who prefer a crop sensor camera for things like action and wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And while we haven't tested enough, but having a frame rate in the, you know, 11 frames per second, there's a couple limitations, but they're not major for outdoor shooting.
No.
It
has to do with flicker reduction and.
Yeah. You're not compromising your exposure or anything like that.
No, or autofocus.
So that's pretty cool.
No,
that do that.
My wife and I were up in Denver, and we went by the Denver Zoo. That's what I used there, mm-hmm. and it just was great. Weighed That's almost nice. Nothing, nice to shoot with, cool. and the focal length range was great for a zoo.
Well, so if you've got someone on your list who is you know, looking to really be an enthusiast in photography, we'd probably recommend something like that simply because mirrorless really is the future.
Yeah.
So getting into a system that is going to only have more and more lenses added to it is a good thing.
But on the other hand, if you're shopping for someone else and price point needs to be lower.
Oh, yeah.
You ought to feel really good about those other ones that we suggested. Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, that's as high as we went on the price.
Yeah.
Only because we were astonished how good the price was.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't going to be on our list. Now, there's some other things we can just sort of talk about in general.
Right.
In terms of, you know, deals on. You just, before we get into some other gear, one thing you mentioned, Rick, was used and refurbished.
Yeah.
Can be very good deals as well. You can buy refurbished gear sometimes through retailers. I've seen them in places not as common. You can get refurbished Nikon equipment in the US from Nikon USA, their website. I've certainly done that. The biggest difference is that you'll get something that only has like a 90-day warranty on it instead of a year or more for lenses. But they're factory reconditioned. You save a lot of money. And sometimes they'll even put those on sale.
Right.
So I've saved a lot of money in the past with going with that.
Yeah, my experiences with refurbished stuff has been good.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem.
I had one lens I had to send back, but it was a cheap lens.
Yeah, so. I've heard of issues, but...
But all just, the good stuff that I've bought refurbished has been excellent.
Yeah. I think just make sure, this is true with anything, make sure you know the return policy.
And test it.
And can return things if there's a problem.
Don't buy it before a three-week trip to Europe and then come back and decide that it didn't work for you and now you're outside of the warranty or return period. So always want to test them first. But those are some good options, and a lot of the retailers now have used departments as well, and you can read up on the grading systems. And a lot of times that'll have some kind of return policy at least.
The only thing I'll say is I think in general you have to be a bit more knowledgeable about the equipment to really purchase used stuff safely all the time.
True.
There can be hidden problems, and it helps if you kind of know what to look for.
Right.
With
right.
specific Rather camera bodies or lenses. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know where the potential weaknesses are.
Okay. So in the time that we have left, let's just talk about some generic stuff. One is tripods.
Mm-hmm.
Now we both are guilty of having expensive carbon fiber tripods, but one thing that is true now that wasn't true back when we first started doing this podcast way back is that there's a lot more lower cost carbon fiber technology out there now.
Yeah, especially coming out of China.
Yeah, and a lot of these are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were not good when they first came out.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but they've changed a lot, and they're very nice quality at this point.
Right. So. I would think we both have the same philosophy towards tripods. We like a tripod that has either a removable or shortened center column.
Yep.
So that and tripods that don't have leg braces, you know, those little sticks between the
legs. Yeah, don't get those.
You want your tripod to be able to spread the legs independently of each other so that when you're working on uneven terrain, outdoors, you can do that. And the removable center column or ones that don't even have a center column in some cases, or some of them have a shortened center column, means that you can spread open the tripod and shoot really low to the ground without having to do strange things like reverse things and turn stuff upside down.
Which doesn't work well in the field at all.
No.
It never did, really.
It's a gimmick and it's there, but it's not comfortable
to
do.
Don't assume
so
that.
We like those. And in general... The first thing you can do when you're trying to... Oh, we also like tripods that don't have an integrated head. We prefer a tripod where you can put your own ball head. And part of the reason is that you can spend your money differently that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can upgrade to a better ball head in the future. You know, something that maybe is more expensive or higher quality, whatever. And so you're not skimping. Yeah. We don't generally recommend pan tilt heads for photography.
No, they're better suited to video work.
Exactly. So I think that in that general frame, and then the first way you can save money on a tripod is just by getting aluminum instead of carbon.
Right.
You pay a price in weight, and they tend to be a little colder when you're outside in the winter.
Yeah.
Although they're all kind of cold. carbon's nicer, but you will pay more for it.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that there's a lot of, like we said, there's a lot of brands now that have decent tripods
that include carbon fiber.
Right.
And aluminum.
So we don't have specific model recommendations because your tripod is going to depend on what you intend to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you should look at a tripod's load rating, and it'll be in pounds or kilograms or whatever, and add up the weight of the ball head, your camera body, and your biggest lens. And as long as you're coming in, you know, a few pounds or a kilogram or so underneath that, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you should look at is, you know, how many sections and how tall and all. That's going to be depending on you, how tall you are, all of those different things. So we have some brand recommendations, though, right?
Yep. One last thing, yeah. I'll say, and it gets into the carbon fiber versus aluminum thing. And there is a price difference, and that
absolutely
could move someone toward aluminum. And you mentioned some other characters. One thing I'll say, though, is if you're wanting the tripod for outdoor usage and you're going to be hiking a ways, I would spring for the carbon fiber. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're very affordable ones now.
Right.
But if you're shooting indoors, like in a studio scenario, and a friend of mine, who was a high school teacher and was wanting some advice on a setup, you know, I recommended aluminum because it's all indoors. It's actually better to have a tripod that's a little bit heavier and won't get knocked over.
And one thing I will just add to your point,
mm-hmm.
a tripod, unlike a camera or a lens, doesn't really go obsolete.
No, it might fall apart. It's cheap.
Right. This is an area where we've been saying for years, it's painful when you see a tripod that costs, you know, $400, $500 or in some cases more.
Yeah.
You know, think about it though. You're going to buy it once.
If you're smart.
Right. So if you spend $200 on a cheap tripod and it falls apart and then you realize, oh, this one wasn't really good. Now I'm going to go spend $500 on a good tripod. You've just thrown away $200.
Yeah.
So consider that. Your tripod could theoretically last you a lifetime.
Yeah, and for God's sake, stay away from the sub-$100 Walmart specials.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, no.
Those are things you only use unless you have no choice. They're just absolute...
Like if you're on a workshop and
junk.
You forgot your tripod and you needed to get one in the last...
Yeah, second. Hypothetically. Yeah,
it could happen. All right, well, so what are some brands that we recommend? Because, you know, we both have some stuff, but they're very expensive.
You don't want to hear it in this episode.
No. Yeah. So what do we got?
Oben.
O-B-E-N. Oben, yes.
Yeah.
They make some nice stuff.
Yeah. Benro,
yes.
And that was actually the one I ended up recommending to my friend for his classroom. Enduro.
Enduro is a good one, you're right.
And Faisal.
Faisal, F-E-I-S-O-L.
They probably all come out of the same factory. I don't
or,
really
or,
know.
Or whatever, but yes.
Yeah.
The one thing to avoid on these is generally, like we were saying, I try to avoid the ones that have the integrated... ball head. Some of them come with a ball head that's pretty good,
mm-hmm.
But at least have the flexibility of knowing that you could take the ball head off and replace it with another one at a later time if you wanted to. So those are all good brands. I've tested some, and I tested a few sub-$500 tripods on my website a couple of years ago, and I can put a link to that too. The model numbers may have changed, but the
one other thing I'll mention is that, you know, with the tripods that come as a kit where you're getting a head also. Some of them do have heads, either ball heads or other types, that use the Arca Swiss system.
That's true.
And that's something to look for. That is very handy. It works really well, and it's compatible with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan of the Manfrotto proprietary quick-release system. They're a pain.
And some of those quick-release systems, other than the Arca Swiss type, just don't stay... snug. They'll start rotating, mm-hmm. and then you'll be shooting, and all of a sudden your camera will spin and screw up your shot, or worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, if you have an Arca Swiss, you can at some point upgrade to fancier Arca Swiss plates that are designed for your camera or lenses.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to use the one that it came with. Well, mm-hmm. those are some good choices. Now, we don't have much time left in today's episode, so let's just talk about some lens things if you're just looking for mm-hmm. some good deals. 50 millimeter primes are almost always a great lens to have around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're never terribly expensive.
And they're usually fairly decent lenses.
Right. So this would be like a 50 millimeter 1.8 or even 1.4. Fast lens. It's going to be better than optically probably than your kit lens. And what it's going to offer you is creative depth of field control. You can use them as a portrait lens. You can use them as an all-purpose lens. Same goes for like a 35 millimeter f2 or 1.8. Mm-hmm. Those are nice all-purpose prime lenses that'll get you some different looks than what you can get with that variable aperture kit lens.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if there was a lens that I was going to buy used, those would be the ones. They're incredibly simple. They don't have a lot of things to break. And you can find them just dirt cheap. Incredibly cheap sometimes.
And another one that you could think about that some people like to think as well, if you're looking to add to your kit possibly and say, okay, I have the kit lenses, what would be another choice? Depending on how you shoot, another option would be something like a macro lens,
mm-hmm.
a true macro lens. And we like the ones that are in the 90 to 105 millimeter.
On a full frame camera.
Yeah, a short telephoto.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're not going to be super cheap, but they're usually very sharp, very well corrected, and they can be used for not only close-ups, but portraits and things like that.
And it's one of those situations where independent of the brand, they all tend to be good.
That's true.
Yeah. And so, again, if you want to go bargain shopping with the used stuff, look at the Sigmas, the Tokinas, the Tamrons.
Absolutely.
They all make very nice macro lenses.
And they have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a very reliable thing. Well, okay. Well, that's awesome. We have sort of reached the limits of what our time slot will allow us. So we will pick up with our next episode and talk more about more of the accessory side of the house. But in the
other ways to reduce the amount of money in your wallet.
If you want to see the listing with some product links to where you can get these deals right now, check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/imagedoctors. That's where you can find us, and also leave your feedback for us and show topic suggestions. We always welcome those mm-hmm. too. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.